In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
2 weeks ago, we considered ourselves as children of God. And at that time, we considered the blessings and benefits of being a child of God. But we also very briefly mentioned that there are signs or evidences that we are children of God. And one of the evidences that we are children of God is that we love one another. And John, in his letter, in 1 John chapter 4, from verses 7 and onwards, he looks and considers this whole matter of love for each other. And we shall consider this today, especially from verses 7 to 11. And the way that we shall approach it is by first of all reminding ourselves where love comes from, and then considering how we are to love one another. Let us take the first point, where love comes from. And of course it comes as no surprise to you that it comes from God. We read these words: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And then in the next verse, John says that God is love. And if we just reflect on this for a moment, we realize that there has always been love between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That every action of God is characterized and directed by love. But we also see, when we look at verses 9 and 10, that God has demonstrated this love, has showed us this love. I'll read you these verses 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." We see clearly then that God has shown, has demonstrated his love by sending his Son into the world for our sins as our Saviour. And this leads very naturally on to our second point, because here in verse 11, John writes, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." So we see that we are to love each other as God has loved us. So let us reflect and think a bit more upon how God has loved us. And we notice that he has loved us when we did not love him. We've already read that verse. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son." And a bit further down in the passage, we read that we love him because he first loved us. And so we see clearly that God loves us and loved us even when, if we reflect and think of how we were, naturally speaking, we were set against God. We were even the enemies of God. And yet he loved us and sent his Son into the world. We can think of that verse in Romans chapter 5, that God has demonstrated his love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, of course, we see that that is consistent with what we have in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus speaks to the disciples and says that they are to love their enemies. Because, of course, God has loved us when we were set against him. And Jesus points out that if we're just thinking about who in terms of loving other people who love us, well, even the pagan and the tax collector love those that love them. But the child of God is different. He loves those that do not love him. In this letter of John, John is thinking especially about love amongst believers. And so we can apply this to ourselves in our situation. Not, of course, that we have enemies in the church, but we do find people who differ from us in terms of culture, in terms of education, in terms of the way that they do things, in terms of personality. And from time to time, we do find people, I'm sure you may have met some people, who sometimes seem to be even awkward and difficult. And then, of course, we also meet other believers outside of the church, outside of our situation here, maybe in work, or their relatives, or in other such context. And then we find that there may be hurts or difficulties from those situations outside of the church. And then we have to come and see that we are to love one another. We remind ourselves that God loved us even when we seem to be very unlovable. And this reminds us that we too are to love those even when they show no love towards us. Also, when we consider this, we also notice that God loved us not merely with words, but with actions. He sent his Son. He demonstrated his love. He showed his love by sending his Son as our Saviour. In the passage just as shortly before in chapter 3, we read that John says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And I often think of the story of the Good Samaritan. The man is on the way to Jericho, and he sees this man laying half dead along the side of the road. And he has compassion upon him. But he doesn't just have compassion upon him. He actually then does something. He takes wine and oil, the medicine of the day, and puts it on his wounds and bandages him, and also takes him on his donkey. So we can see that we are to have not merely words for each other, but also actions. And sometimes, of course, it is not always very easy. We can think of the Samaritan on his journey, had his program. And we too can sometimes be like that. We've got our thoughts, we've got our plans, and yet we find that we need to take time out for people. So we can ask ourselves, do we show also that willingness to give to other people? Also, when we consider this love that God has shown to us, we see that it wasn't just enough love or sufficient love, but an abounding love. God could have just forgiven us our sins, but we have so many more blessings besides. We've mentioned that we are children of His. We can turn to Him in prayer and present our requests and share our needs. We have God as our Heavenly Father looking after us and caring for us day by day. And of course, we have the fellowship. We have brothers and sisters, family. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the great and precious promises that we have in Scripture. And in fact, we have many more blessings besides. And when we compare ourselves to Adam in the garden, we actually find that we have greater blessings than him. He could not call God a father in the sense that we could. So when we begin to reflect upon this, we see that we receive not just a few blessings or a little bit of love or sufficient love, but an abounding love. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. If we think a little bit about the Good Samaritan, he too had abounding love. He didn't just help this man put this wine and this oil upon his wounds, bandage him and take him on the donkey. But he also took him to that inn, left money there, and also planned to come back in order to pay more if necessary. He did more than what he was supposed to do, than he could have done. And this reminds us that our love to each other is also to be abounding, not just enough love, not just sufficient love, but an abounding love. We can ask ourselves for a moment, well, what happens when that abounding love is lacking? Well, how are we when we have some love but not abounding love? Well, we take offense very easily. We get upset with other people. We're not very understanding when someone else does react. And when we don't have this abounding love, we remember grudges. Remember that someone has done this and said this. And not only do we do that, but we keep on turning these things over and over in our minds, reflecting upon them and reminding ourselves, making sure that these wounds are kept open. Sometimes people say, well, if they apologized, I would forgive them. And certainly we do believe, don't we, in the importance of saying sorry for the things that we've done wrong. But we also remember in 1 Peter that we read that love covers a multitude of sins. And those of us who have had children, whether the children are going through the terrible twos or the terrible teens, whether they're throwing toys or slamming doors, and probably a lot worse, we know that we don't keep a list of all the things that they've done wrong and demand an apology for every single thing. No, why not? Because our love abounds and we quickly forgive them and move on. So likewise, we can ask ourselves, God, as God had an abounding love towards us, do we also have an abounding love towards others? Let us remind ourselves what we said in this passage. We reminded ourselves that this love came from God. Indeed, God is love. And he has demonstrated this love. He has showed this love by sending his Son to save us from our sins. And then we've seen that we are to love in the same way. To love those who do not love us. To love not merely with words, but also with actions. And to love with an abounding love. Not just sufficient love, but a love which goes on. Let me end with these words from verse 11 of our passage. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.